The text for the sermon this evening is Psalm 75, verse 8. Psalm 75, verse 8. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Psalm 75, the Lord declares that he is the judge. He also defines the kind of judgment he executes. God's judgment consists in casting down one man and elevating another. He orders all the affairs of men as seems good in his sight. In verse 8 of this psalm, the Lord applies his judgment more directly to the use of the godly. The purpose for which God reigns is that no iniquity may remain unpunished. God reigns in order that when evil and wicked men have broken through all restraint and abandoned themselves to wickedness, the Lord, the righteous judge, may drag them to the punishment they deserve. And from this we learn that God's providence is his ever-present power by which he governs every part of our life. The Lord has in his hand a cup with which he punishes the wicked. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker in this text. Lord Jesus Christ is the one who speaks these sober truths. He's the one whom God the Father has ordained to judge the world in righteousness. When the proper time comes, he will judge uprightly, as we read in Psalm 75, verse 2. The Lord Jesus Christ does not speak these words harshly. He speaks them in all tenderness. The Lord Jesus Christ not only created all that exists, but he also upholds all things by the word of his power. He keeps the world from complete destruction. He sustains the heavens and the earth. He sustains all that exists. If he were to withhold his hand, all creation would perish. Yet the Lord holds in his hand a cup of red wine that is highly intoxicating, even deadly. The vehemence and the fury of God's wrath is compared to red wine that is fully mixed. By his just and holy providence, by his just and holy hand, he is governing all things. And he is bringing the cup of his wrath, the cup of his vengeance, upon those who do not know him. In Ezekiel chapter 23, verses 31 through 33, we read that the cup of the Lord is the cup of wrath that he pours out upon Samaria. The idea that the Lord is teaching us here in Psalm 75, verse 8, is that he will pour out his wrath against sin. And his wrath against sin will be terrible beyond anything that we could imagine or conceive. Ezekiel tells us in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the soul that sins, it shall die. And our Lord Jesus Christ says in Psalm 7, verses 11 and 12, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he does not turn back, he will sharpen his sword. He bends his bow. He makes it ready. He also prepares for himself instruments of death. The Lord tells us in Psalm 11, verses 6 and 7, upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. In Psalm 21, verse 9, we read, you shall make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath. Elihu warns in Job chapter 36, verse 18, because there is wrath, beware lest he take you away with one blow, for a large ransom would not help you avoid it. Paul the Apostle writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 25, but in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up wrath for the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And we read this evening from Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 and 10. Where the third angel says with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Can words any more emphatic than that be used to express God's indignation at man's sin? The Lord Jesus Christ speaks of a cup here in Psalm 75, verse 8. A cup is a measured out portion. In Psalm 11, verse 6, in Psalm 16, verse 5, we read that the Lord is the portion of my cup. The word cup is frequently used to express a full amount. God's curse poured out upon the ungodly is called the cup of trembling. And in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 22, the Lord says to his people, see, I have taken out of your hand the cup of trembling. The dregs of the cup of my fury, you shall no longer drink it. But I will put it into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, lie down, that we may walk over you. God's wrath shall be given in a measured portion, deliberately, carefully considered. There shall be no caprice or arbitrariness in God's judgment upon sin. He will judge all men with righteousness. The Lord Jesus is saying here in our text, here are the sins. There is the cup. Of a size proportioned to the sins. And that cup is full of God's just wrath and vengeance. God's perfections direct and dictate the filling of that cup. It is a cup of red wine. Another place he calls it the wine of my fury. In Revelation chapter 16, verse 19, it is called the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Red wine is usually the strongest. In addition, the fiery nature of the contents is indicated by the color. And this red wine is pressed out of the grapes by God's own attributes. It must be the concentrated essence of God's wrath. This is no weak potion. This is a potion like the one described in the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 25, verse 16, which they drank and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. And the prophet Ezekiel, in chapter 23, verses 32 through 35, describes this cup of the wrath of God with these words: "You shall drink of your sister's cup, the deep and wide one. You shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision. It contains much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of horror and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. You shall drink and drain it. You shall break its shards and tear at your own breasts. For I have spoken, says the Lord God." The Lord says here in our text that the wine in this cup is fully mixed. This signifies that the wine's natural quality has been intensified. It has been strengthened. Its force has been made stronger by various ingredients that have been added to it. This is the sense of the term mixed wine in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 22, where the prophet says, "Woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man." In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is wisdom, has mixed his wine of judgment. And he says, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed." And here in Psalm 75, verse 8, the Lord mixes everything that enhances the bitterness of that cup of his wrath. What may the various ingredients be that are mixed into that wine? "The misery of God's wrath and judgment shall come upon every part of the lost sinner's nature. His body as well as his soul shall be steeped in never-ending anguish. In the midst of the unceasing wretchedness of eternal exile and lonely imprisonment." Each attribute of the Godhead casts something bitter into the cup of God's wrath upon sin. Righteousness is there, so that the rich man in hell in Luke chapter 16 does not dare to hint that his torment is too great. Mercy and love cast their ingredients upon it also, testifying that the sinner was dealt with in long suffering and salvation was placed within his reach. Oh, the aggravation which this thought will add to the misery of those who experience that eternal judgment of the Lord. God's omnipotence contributes to it. The lost man in the hands of the Almighty is utterly helpless. He is as weak as a worm. Eternity is also an ingredient, telling that the wrath of God endures as long as God lives. And truth is there, declaring that all this is what God has spoken, and so it cannot be changed without overturning God himself and his throne. There's still more. While shame and contempt and the consciousness of being disowned by every holy being fiercely sting the soul, there are ingredients cast in to this cup of God's wrath by the sinner himself. His conscience asserts and attests that he deserves all of this judgment, and therefore he loathes himself. Memory recalls past opportunities and times of hope that he despised and he rejected. Sin goes on increasing and passions continue to rage. Cravings gnaw the unsatisfied soul of the unrepentant sinner with eternal hunger. It may be that every particular sin will contribute to this mixture. A woe for lusts gratified. A woe for every act of drunkenness and every falsehood and every dishonesty. A woe for every rejected invitation and every threatening of God's wrath which the ungodly disregarded and from which they turned away. This cup of God's wrath has dregs in it. The dregs are at the bottom of the cup, out of sight, but they are the bitterest. Do these mean hidden woes not yet conceived of by anyone? The words, "it were better he had never been born," hint at this. The woes that our Lord Jesus Christ endured were so great that it seemed to be better if he had never been born. This is the opposite of the joy that God gives to those who are redeemed by the blood of his Son. Their joy is far greater than anything we can even imagine or think. Backsliders seem sometimes to have begun to taste these dregs. Apostates try to show only a little of these dregs, but oh, the reality of the dregs of the cup of the wine of God's wrath and judgment in the ages to come. For it shall be that the wrath of him whose breath makes the mountains smoke and rocks the earth itself to the very center of its existence. Oh, the staggering madness of eternal despair. God pours out this wine, fully mixed, and the wicked shall drink it down to its very dregs. These dregs are not just meant for show. This is not a cup whose contents shall only be exhibited and then withdrawn. No, the wicked must drink it and cannot refuse. No man can protest against the cup of God's wrath and God's judgment. There shall be nothing at all to alleviate this awful draft which the sinner must drink. God pours it out. And the guilty soul, all the wicked of the earth, shall surely drain and drink down all its dregs. Job says in Job 27, verse 22, "It hurls against him and does not spare. He flees desperately from its power, but cannot, for the wind will sweep him out of his place and carry him away until he is gone." Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 15 and 16, the Lord commands, "Take this wine cup of fury from my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. And they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them." And further, he insists in verse 28 of Jeremiah chapter 25, "And it shall be if they refuse to take the cup from your hand to drink, then you shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, you shall certainly drink." Job says in Job chapter 21, verse 20, "Let his eyes see his destruction, and let him drink of the wrath of the Almighty." And what do those words already quoted in Revelation 14, verse 10 mean? "And he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." God shall not have a mere silent feeling of indignation at sin. No, he will inflict his curse. There's no thunder without lightning. The seven seals show no deliverance for the earth while they were unbroken. The seven trumpets called no avengers until they were sounded. The seven bowls brought down no judgment while they were only held in the angels' hands. The penalty must be exacted, and it will require eternity to exact it all. O fellow sinner, we have tried to say something of this doom, but what are the words of man? They can only give a slight idea of God's wrath and everlasting judgment. Remember, each new sin of yours will throw more ingredients into the mixture. It is the merciful one himself who speaks in Ezekiel 22, verse 14, these words: "Can your heart endure? Or can your hands remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and will do it." It is dreadful to read and to hear this proclamation of God's wrath, but it is all given in order to compel us, to constrain us, to call us to flee from it, to flee from the wrath of God. We cannot leave you merely contemplating the terrors of that wrath of Almighty God. We go on in connection with it to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one who has ever drunk this cup to its very dregs. Cain has been drinking it for 5,000 years and finds his punishment greater than he can bear. But he has not come to the dregs. And Judas has been drinking it for some 2,000 years, often crying out with a groan that shakes hell, "Oh, that I had never been born. Oh, that I had never seen or heard of the Lord Jesus Christ." But he has not reached the dregs. The fallen angels have not come near the dregs of the cup of the wrath of Almighty God, for they have not arrived at the judgment of the great day. The only one who has taken and tasted and drunk and wrung out the bitterest of the bitter dregs of the wine of the cup of the wrath of the Lord has been the judge himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how often when he was on earth he spoke of this. He said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 22, "Are you able to drink the cup that I shall drink of? The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink of it?" He said in John 18, verse 11. The universe saw the Lord Jesus Christ with it at his lips. It was our cup of trembling, the cup in which the wrath that was due to the multitude of redeemed sinners, which no man can number, was mixed. What wrath? What woe? A few drops made him cry, "Now is my soul deeply troubled." In the garden, the sight of that cup of the wrath of Almighty God wrung out those strange and mysterious words, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death." Although God and man, in two distinct natures, in one person forever, he staggered at what he saw and went on trembling. The next day, hanging on the cross at Calvary, he drank it all. The 3 hours of darkness may have been the time when he was draining and drinking down the dregs. For then he arose from, then arose out of his broken heart that wail which so appalled and so appealed to the heart of his Father in heaven. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he finished the last drop and cries out, "It is finished," the angels of God felt an inconceivable relief. And even the Father himself, so tremendous was the wrath and the curse, the judgment and the vengeance that was due to us for our sin. In all this, there was nothing too much. Love would protest against one drop too much. And never do you find God exceeding what is just and right. Did he not hasten to stop Abraham's hand when enough had been done on Mount Moriah, as Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son Isaac? And at that same spot again in the day of King David, when justice had sufficiently declared the sharpness of its two-edged sword, did the Lord not again hasten to deliver, crying out, "It is enough"? How much more then when it was his own well-beloved son who drank that cup of his wrath and his curse in our place? He sought only from his only begotten and his well-beloved Son all that was needed by his justice. And so we find in this transaction good news for us. For Jesus Christ drank that cup as the substitute for the great multitude, his innumerable people, given to him by the Father. And by draining and drinking down that cup of God's justice and God's wrath, he has paid for all of our sins in full. He has paid our debt in full. And he has set us free from ever tasting even one drop of that fierce wrath. That cup of red wine fully mixed with its dregs, its unknown terrors. This one alone, who so drank the whole cup of the wrath of Almighty God, presents to the sinners of our world the emptied cup. His own cup emptied. He sends it around the world, calling on sinners, calling on men, calling on women, calling on children to take that cup and to offer it to the Father as satisfaction for their sins. Come, O fellow sinner, grasp that cup and hold it up to God. Plead that empty cup of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be acquitted of all your sins. You shall be delivered from all your guilt and shame. You shall be declared righteous, just before God. Yes, if you are anxious at all to be saved and blessed, take up this emptied cup. No matter how cold your heart may be, no matter how dull your feelings are, no matter how slight your sorrow for your sin is, take this emptied cup. Your appeal to this emptied cup stops God's just judgment at once. Do not think that you need to endure some anguish of soul, some great sorrow. Do not think that you need to take some sips of the red wine, far less that you need to taste its dregs before you can be accepted by God. What thoughtless presumption that we should try to imitate Christ in his great atoning work, in drinking the cup, the full cup of God's wrath, and draining out that cup to the very last of its dregs. if Uzziah, the king of Judah, presenting incense before the Lord when he ought to have let the priest do it for him, was smitten with leprosy for his presumption. Take care, lest you too be thrust away. If you presume to bring the imagined incense of your own sorrow for sin and your own bitter tears to God to atone for your own sins, it is the emptied cup which is offered to us. Not the cup that is wet with our tears. Not the cup whose purity is dimmed by the breath of our prayers, or by our feelings, or by our graces. For none of those things can do anything but to cast a veil over the perfect merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children of God who have used this cup, keep pleading it always. Always make this emptied cup the ground of your assurance of salvation and of acceptance with God. Examine it often and well. See how God was glorified here. See how plentifully it illustrates and honors the claims of God's righteousness. Full payment of every claim of God's justice is here. And in using this emptied cup of our Lord Jesus Christ, you give to God good measure, pressed down and running over. What then remains but that you give thanks to the Lord, and that you take this cup of salvation and sing the praise of God with all your heart and soul all the days of your life here on earth and throughout all eternity? What should ever hinder your triumphant joy? Be full of gratitude, and let this thankfulness appear in you, letting others know what Christ has done for you and what Christ may do for them. Fellow sinner, if you do not accept this cup which the Lord Jesus Christ has drained and drunk down, soon you shall have no opportunity to escape drinking the cup of the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. You will have to drink it yourself throughout all eternity. May I never see one of my people drinking this dreadful cup. May I never see it put into their hands. The groaning of a soul dying in sin is at times heard on this side of the veil, and it is the saddest and the most haunting of all solemn and awful scenes. But what is that compared to the actual drinking of the cup of the wrath of Almighty God and wringing out the very dregs of that cup? May Satan never be able to upbraid you with having once had the offer of salvation, an offer never made to him. Every Lord's Day, especially, the Lord takes those who hear the gospel aside into a quiet and secluded place. And there he sets down before them the cup of red wine, fully mixed, and then the emptied cup of Jesus. Earnestly, most sincerely, most compassionately, the Lord presses them to take that cup, that emptied cup, and be blessed with everlasting life and peace with God and joy without end. Brothers and sisters, never rest until the Holy Spirit has in your heart so glorified the Lord Jesus Christ, who drank the cup of the wrath of Almighty God, that you see in him your salvation and God's glory secured beyond any controversy. beyond even the power of Satan himself to question it or to attack it. And that security, that assurance is yours if you trust in Jesus Christ, who drank the cup of the wrath of God. He drained it and drank down the very last dregs to the very last drop. Amen. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe and fear and trembling before you. For you, our God, are a consuming fire. And if those who heard you speak from heaven and would not listen at Mount Sinai did not escape your wrath, how much less shall we, who hear you speaking to us through the Scriptures and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has fully drunk the cup of your wrath, who has died and risen from the dead and is exalted to your right hand, how much less shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? And so, Father, we pray that you impress upon us this evening not only the greatness of your wrath, not only the terrors of your curse, not only the potency, the deadly potency of the red wine fully mixed, which you pour out, but also, Father, the wonder and the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son, who is the only one who has fully drunk that cup of your wrath. He drank it in our place so that we might not have to drink even one drop of that cup of your justice. Lord, may we trust in him who drank it. May we lay hold of that emptied cup that he gives. May we be righteous and just in your sight through him. And because of his merits, because of his death, because of his resurrection, because of his obedience. And Father, we pray for those who hear of your wrath, but are not moved. And those who hear of that cup of your wrath that Jesus has emptied out, but do not lay hold of him. O Lord, give them no rest and no peace until they come fleeing to Jesus Christ, laying hold of him by faith, until they rest in him and have everlasting life. And so we pray, Father, that the gospel of your grace may continue to be proclaimed in our midst and to those around us and throughout the land and throughout the earth until Jesus Christ returns, that all those in whom you are pleased to work by your Spirit, all those whom you have set apart for yourself, will be called and will come and lay hold of Christ and be delivered from your wrath that surely shall come and shall destroy all who must drink it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.